In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning, everybody. Pastor Ken told me to say that. Good morning. Because I say?
6:15 it has to be a good morning. I mean, some are just rolling out of bed, Jack. Yeah, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Nice to have you here. Welcome to the Word for Life. And we've been continuing the book of Joshua. And I'm Jack Gardner. I'm the Word for Life producer. I'm here with Pastor Ken Keltner, lead pastor at Brookside. We would like to remind you that the missions conference is actually starting tonight.
Yeah, tonight, right. 7 o'clock. And Jim Tillotson, president of Faith Baptist Bible College, will be our keynote speaker. So we look forward to kicking the conference off and treating our missionaries in a way that I trust they see we consider them to be some heroes of our faith right now.
That's right. And Jim Tillotson is the president of Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny,
yeah.
Iowa.
Yeah.
And of course, the missions conference goes through the 16th.
Yeah, it goes through Sunday.
Yeah. We also have missionaries from Italy, Brian and Victoria Rice. From Romania, Dan and Lynn Sehested. And then we have Bill and Jill Jones. Bill was a first full-time pastor at Brookside. He's in New York.
Yeah, they're no strangers to Brookside. So Bill and Jill will be a great blessing.
And they have a gospel mission in New York City. And then Peru missionaries Tim and Cheryl Chapman, all a part of the missions conference. So also Sunday mornings, 1 Corinthians. We're still in Corinthians.
We're still in 1 Corinthians.
The gospel changes everything.
Excuse me. Gospel does change everything. And then on Sunday evenings, when we don't have missions conference or special things going on, it's the book of Psalms as we praise through the Psalms. So Mike Gendron will be with us here November 12th. That's Saturday the 12th and the 13th. And I'm sure that's a name many BCY listeners recognize. I know he's been on Crosstalk with Jim Schneider, and so we're glad to have Mike Gendron with us.
And then that brings us up to the book of Joshua, which we are in the
chapter 8. He's reassuring Joshua, hey, the sin issue has been taken care of, forgiven, as hard as that was, move forward, don't be afraid, you don't need to be discouraged. God assured Joshua there in verse 1, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged, take all the people, I'm going to give you Ai. Remember, Ai was this unbelievable defeat. 36 men died when they thought, this is going to be nothing. And Joshua was devastated after those men died. And so here God is giving them the reassurance, here's my plan. And my plan hasn't changed. We're ready to go on ahead and pick up the promise I made that you're going to continue to take over the land that I promised you. You know, the reassurance to Joshua, Jack, in helping him really overcame his insecurity. And I don't know how many believers face that insecurity or questions, whether it's health or interpersonal or job scenario. But let me just read to you the words of our Lord through the Apostle Paul when he said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is back in Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely nothing in God's creation can stop God's purpose and his plans, and that includes believers in Christ today. What a climactic way to affirm God's love to us. And God has a plan for victory for us, just as he had a plan for victory for the Israelites and Joshua to go in and take Ai. His plan for us is he'd love for us to submit to him, just like he wants Joshua and the people to submit to him, to depend upon him, to trust him. And now we have the privilege of having God's word, and we get to study it and submit ourselves to the teaching, the principles that we read that God has preserved for us for these many generations. So let's focus in on verses 3 through 8 of chapter 8 of Joshua. And Jack, I'm going to have you read that section of scripture for us, because God is going to really give again the sequence. He's going to help them have victory in this battle.
Mm-hmm. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about, when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first.' Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you."
So the sequence of events here, let me ask you, Jack, are they different than how they took Jericho? Remember, Jericho, they had to walk around the city without saying a word, wait for the trumpet, and then on the last time. So, sequent was...
like polar opposite.
Yeah, polar opposite.
Once
it was
wait,
totally
don't
different.
Speak, and then now,
yeah,
full on.
And at Jericho, there had been an incredible miracle. The walls had fallen. Ai, there's no miracle. The Israelites had to take the city through the normal process, or the normal processes of war. God's not mechanical. He's personal. God doesn't deal with every situation in just a stoic, mechanical way.
Linear.
Yeah, we must not think that because God acts one way in one moment, he will act the same way in another. And God is sovereign, and he's free to use unlimited methods. At Jericho, there was a miracle. At Ai, there was none. I would hope that we as believers would know that God's very personal. He works in our lives in different ways. Paul said this to the Philippians, "He that has begun a good work in you will perfect it." He'll complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. He works in each of us. And God will never contradict his own principles. He'll never contradict his character as set forth in his word. God is just not a machine. Satan would like for us to think that God's impersonal, he's uncaring, almost like he's just really out to mock our lives. But friends, don't buy that lie. God is a God of love, mercy, and compassion. And so Joshua here, in that text you just read for us, was clearly instructed to take all of Israel's 600,000 men into action. Overwhelming odds against the enemy here were about 50 to 1. It was like the old adage of using a sledgehammer to swat a single fly. And Joshua didn't hesitate to comply. God's strategy is, this is what I want you to do. And it's interesting that the strategy here would be one of deceit and subversion. If you picked it up in verse 6, the people of Ai are going to say, hey, look at them. They're fleeing like they did the first time. In other words, we're going to do it again to them. We got them on the run. And so it's not a frontal attack, but the city's going to be taken by ambush. It would be a military maneuver under the cloak of darkness. You got this commando unit of 30,000 men. They are going to wait west of the city of Ai. A group of 5,000 troops were to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai. This was to take care of the men from Bethel coming out to help Ai. I mean, God had this all strategically planned. It's a great strategy. For verse 17 will let us know that there were men who came out, and they were quickly defeated. The main army was with Joshua, and they camped in the north of Ai as a decoy. And the plan, the king of Ai sees the army of Israel. He orders the attack. Joshua and his men, they're going to retreat, and then when the trap is laid, Joshua will give the signal, and Ai will burn to the ground, and the city and their inhabitants will be destroyed. people will say, oh, man, this is just brutal, ruthless. But God is stamping out corruption and sin in the day, and it was like a cancer. And just like we have cancer, it has to be taken out of our body. It had to be taken out, just as God did there in Genesis with the great flood. The reward this time was the spoils of Ai could be claimed. You see that in verse 27. And thus, friends, listen to this. If Achan had waited, had he not allowed greed and selfishness to take over in his life, he would have been able to take all that he wanted and needed after the victory of Ai. How sad, though, that he took what belonged to God and violated God's law and brought judgment on himself and his whole family. Now, I grew up with my dad quoting me, "Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate." Sometimes young people will just rush into something that will affect them the rest of their lives. You think of how our country has been so impacted as a nation by abortion. Charles Stanley has given four reasons we compromise our convictions. One, fear of criticism. We don't want somebody telling us, you know, what's wrong with what our standard or what we believe God would have us to do. Fear of rejection would be number two. Fear of failure. Well, if I do this, then I'm going to be a loser. No. And fear of loss, of what I'm going to lose. I mean, Achan wouldn't have lost anything if he'd been obedient to God. He actually gained. And they take the king of Ai alive, verse 23, and they brought him alive to Joshua. And we'll be able to tell from Joshua 10:26 that kings were hung from a tree after they'd been put to death. Deuteronomy 21 gives us some help here. An Israelite offender put to death for a capital offense could be hung up on a tree or a post, probably as a deterrent to the rest of the city not to want to revolt. There is significance in these provisions. Anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Here is a solemn sign that Ai's king and his people, the Canaanites, stood under God's curse and judgment. We haven't answered the why of God's judgment against the Canaanites, but if you missed those messages, let me give you a couple of passages to look at for yourself. Leviticus 18:24 and 25 and Deuteronomy 9:4 and 5 agree that, yeah, it's gruesome, but that the living God must stoop to such a spectacle or we might never fear sin. Even at this moment, you and I may not be overwhelmed by the gravity of God's judgment. It's only something that happened to the king of Ai back in 1400 BC. Yet for the hardness of our hearts, God has given us still another picture of his judgment. And that was the king of Jews hanging on a tree, having become a curse, friends, for us. And I trust you know Christ as your Savior, for he did pay for your sin and mine. Friends, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to our next time that we can be together.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.